Wow, presence of God is generous this morning. I don't know about you, but I was carrying my grandson, very heavy, but I feel so light. And I got the strength because the mighty God is in our presence. I think those who are carrying heavy burdens, you need to realize that when the generous God's presence is here, that your burdens can be lightened. Problem is still there. Of course, you've got to still go back and deal with it, you know? But I tell you what, you leave this place different because the presence of God is here. So whenever God is here, just say, oh God, let me openly receive you and receive strength into my body, into my mind, into my soul. That's why God says to love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Because when you open yourself to God, no, God just fills your mind, your soul, your strength, and you go out feeling different. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is a generous God. And today, the topic that is given to me is our value, the value of generosity. I think when you have a value like generosity, it's almost like saying, if you go out of the church or if you're amongst friends and people say, hey, you're so generous, that means the value has been inculcated in you. Do you know? It's not just a word. Generosity is very easy to say. Generous is very easy to say. But value means the thing is so in you. That's my grandson. He wants to talk to me because I've been taking care of him for 5 days. My daughter and son-in-law are away, and so he's very attached, you know. Everything's mama, mama. Okay. Ignore him now. And what did I say? I can't remember what I said. Huh? So when there is that value of generosity, means when people are in touch with you, that value has been noticed. Like they say, wow, you're generous. That means that that word has been translated into a value. And we want to be known as that. Now we are a people of generosity. That's why we make that our value. But only God can help us. We can only be generous because God is generous. Amen? And today we discover what is in the Word of God, in the book of Matthew, to help us understand how we can be a people of generosity, not only for this generation, but for future generations. Lynn talked about 1,000 generations. God wants to open His heart to you, to your next generation, and to 1,000 generation after you. Whoa, need some strength, man. You need to have some capacity. But that's it. God, the generous one, is here to fill us up. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Oh, dear God, you are the generous God. And you are here with your presence to bless and to empower. You are here not just interested in our welfare for this time being, but for our future generations. And so this morning we stand in your presence feeling, wow, so unworthy and yet so loved by you, so accepted by you, that we can be your carriers, that we can be your channels. So dear Lord, fill us up this morning so that when we leave this place, we leave this place full of the generous spirit and presence of the living God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I'm not very sophisticated, didn't have my laptop with me because no time to put everything onto the laptop because got to take care of grandson. But it's all good, huh? Thank God for paper. I love paper. I like to make a bold claim for GCC this year. I love the word GCC. Oh, very nice. Grace City Church, GCC. I like to make a bold claim for GCC this new year. That GCC can be generous because God is generous. And we can be generous with our prayers, with our time, money, gifts, hospitality, our words, we can be generous. Our wishes for people, we can also be generous. And we can be generous as God directs us, whether it's in your family or in your workplace, in schools, in unis, everywhere, in the community, in Perth, beyond. when God directs you to be generous, you be generous, huh? Because that's the best. Your life is best lived when you are so spontaneous, when God speaks to you and you act. God speaks to you and you are generous. That's the best kind of life because God is so creative and He wants to fill you every minute of the day to let you know what He can do through you, like this morning. So spontaneous presence of the living God. So we're going to look at Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. There's a great story there, maybe quite familiar to some of you, but today I'm going to draw some things of generosity from that parable. It's a light story. So if you like story, this is the one, because it talks about the super generous God, and He is uncalculating, and He is outrageous in His generosity. And we can be generous because God is generous. Okay, let's look at it. Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard and I'll pay you whatever is right.' So they went. And when he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here all idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the same, the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you.' 'Am I not allowed,' the landowner says, 'to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be the first, and the first will be the last.'" And of course, the story of the landowner is a foreshadow of God Himself, yeah? So there are a few things about generosity. One is that there is a thing called transferable generosity. There are some new terms, because I think when you take care of your grandson, your oxygen level goes really high, and then you create things. So this is really good. I like it. There's a thing called transferable generosity. If you go to Google, you don't have a lot of research on this, because it's all from the Word of God. Transferable generosity. Do you know that generosity is transferable? The genes of God is in us to be generous when we are born again. So when we get born again, things change inside of us and something gets transferred from the image of God to you. You know, Pastor Aaron at the prayer meeting, he says this. He says, do you notice that couples, after a while, they look like each other? You look at Pastor Aaron and you look at Yvonne, huh? Very alike, you know. And he's right, you know, he says when couples are together for a long time, they look like each other. And if they don't look like each other, they act like each other. Isn't it true? Henry says some things that I said and was like, that's my line, you know. Or I say some things or think some things he's thinking and I said, oh, how did that happen? We do that. So are children of God. We imitate Christ. We have the likeness of Christ. Generosity from God is transferable to us because we are born again in Christ. In this parable, The landowner paid the same wage to the ones who work at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I don't know, if you're the one who's working at 5 o'clock and you go and get your pay and you get the same amount as the one at 9 o'clock, I don't know what kind of feeling you will have. I think it's probably a feeling of bafflement, amusement, astonishment, maybe gratitude, overwhelming thanks that you didn't have to work so hard, but you got the same amount. When confronted, something ring? No. Oh, okay. When confronted, the landowner says, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" He was confronted because he gave the ones who work at 5 o'clock the same pay. And so the ones who work at 9 and 12 o'clock came to him and says, "You know, you are not reasonable." And then the landowner says, "Hey, am I not allowed to choose how much I want to give, who I want to give, what I want to give?" Of course he can. Right here is the character of God. Right here is the character of God. He is free-spirited and he is generous. He's got an open heart. And sometimes God's work of grace is so silent and yet so mighty. It's so silent, yet so victorious and so rich in patience. That character of generosity in God is transferred to you. All you have to do is activate it. You sign up for some accounts, right? You have the account. You scratch all the things, you punch in all your numbers, but you need to activate it. If you don't activate it, it's there, but you're not using it. So the endowment is in you. The generosity of God is in you because of Christ. You need to activate it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, it says that this surpassing grace has been given to you by Christ and is indescribable. If you read 9:15 in 2 Corinthians, it says, it is an indescribable gift. See, when Jesus gave his life on the cross, it is indescribable, it's beyond description. Because his sacrifice alleviates the distress of humanity and it causes the world to rise from the fallen condition of misery and guilt. Paul is right. There is a thing called rebuilding, and God rebuilds, God renews, God restores. Because of his death on the cross, Jesus gave himself so generously on the cross. And today, even as we sat in his presence, I just feel this becomes so real. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 11. Jesus says he's the seed and he's the bread of life. And in that particular verses, it says, God supplies seed to the sower. You are the sower. And God, the seed, the imperishable seed, supplies seed to you as a sower. God, the bread of life, supplies bread for food to you. And he says he will supply and increase your store of seed, and he will enrich you so that you can be generous on every occasion. Every occasion. That means you can activate your mind and body and soul and strength to be generous, because God has supplied you the seeds that you need. When you are renewed in Christ, then there is ability. Say the word ability. Oh, yes. One more time. You have that ability because you are renewed in Christ. I can, not because I'm so smart, I can because God enables me. God enriches me. The whole storehouse of seeds is in me, is transferable, and is transferred to me. And the seeds of life, like just now when you enjoy the presence of God, it's like, wow, God's scattering seeds of his life to you. The seeds of life are planted in your soul like a garden. It will germinate. It will grow. It will produce fruit. And when God calls on it, and when you activate it, when you begin to be generous in your act, that becomes a seed of life in the lives of maybe yourself, maybe in the lives of your family, maybe in the lives of your uni friends or your workmates. They become a seed of life that will bring about a harvest. You are the transferred of God, the transfer of God. God transfers good things to you. You are the channel, the conduit where God transfers His life to you. I know of a pastor who gives seed money. Whenever he is impressed by God, he would just give some money, you know, seed money to people, and then he let people just do whatever they want with that seed money, and then he begin to get stories of how God blesses that money that he gives away. I was in BSF some time ago, many, many years ago, for a couple of years, and I'm very amazed always when I look at my BSF teacher. She's so articulate and she really gives out her very best. And I'm sure there are many people like BSF teachers in the church here and other churches in Perth and elsewhere. I'm sure there are many, many people who does that. But she gave out her time, her talents, her money to just share God's word without expecting payment. That's amazing. That's because she has that transfer of generosity from God Himself. I know of a pastor's daughter since very, very young. In fact, when I was very young, she was already in that unreached country, just doing preaching and doing mission work for God. She's still there doing God's work. She's called to be there, and she is so generous with her presence in that particular place because she has the deposit of generosity from God. She has got the image of the generous God. And recently, I called up the city of Stirling, and I was asking about some things, and the city of Stirling says, oh, we already have a lot of volunteers, and these volunteers will go to the homeless, will go to the aged home, the nursing home, and they have been doing that for years. Wow, volunteers, some of them Christians, some of them not, but volunteers who've got the image of God, generous image of God, volunteering in the city of Stirling. All these acts are done because we have the image of God to make lives better. God comes here to make lives better and to make the world a better place for us to live in. And the better lives are and the better the place to live in, it reflects the generous nature of God. That's why the church is so good, because we are in that right place at the right time to show off, to showcase, to reveal, to manifest the generous nature of our God. But I think we also need to be wise, you know. Don't, after this sort of a message, you know, you go and frantically find things to be generous in. You need to also to be wise. You really need to discern. I think it's a good word, Pastor Aaron, discern. Huh? We must be like the son of Issachar. Sons of Issachar, that we must discern what is to be done. You must discern when to be generous and when not to be generous. Don't have a martyr complex. A martyr complex is you give and give and give and give and give until you burn out. To be a martyr is good. You give your life and then you die. To have a martyr complex is you give and give and give and give and be generous until you burn out. So before you die already, burn out. So don't have a martyr complex. Be following Christ to know when to be generous and when not to be. For example, I don't know whether you notice, whenever you drive to some junctions in Perth these days, you get a lot of people begging for money. I was just talking to a leader, and I won't mention the name because I don't know where this message will go to, but you know, I was just talking to a leader in the city. And this person is sharing that, yes, it's an issue of concern to the government and also to the council. And he reveals that a lot of these people are also involved in group crimes, also poverty-driven and then in group crimes. So If the Lord didn't impress you to give, don't give. I don't know. If the Lord impressed on you to give now that you have got this information, then you give according to what the Lord has impressed on you. But we need to be wise in being generous. Yes? Because God wants us to be Christ-like and Christ-driven. And so we need to be wise in either being generous or to withhold generosity. God wants to speak to you, so you ask. Keep asking. Like, God, what should I do? I don't know about you. I ask a lot of God in a day, like, what should I do? Pastor Aaron, is it true? We always ask, what do we do? What do we, Paul, do you ask God every time, what am I supposed to do now, you know? We ask, we need to ask God, ask Him, and say, God, should I give, should I not? Should I be generous, should I not? Should I cook, should I not? There are many things that you need not do, so don't be a martyr if you don't need to. But if God says, hey, do it, then do it, because when you do it as God directs you, you will feel the flow. In fact, research is saying that if you practice generosity, you will experience happiness. Of course, we know it as believers, because in Acts 20, 35, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We know that. And those who generously refresh others, you will prosper. You know that. And so, yes, of course, if you are generous, you will experience happiness. So I think God wants us to be happy, and that's why God wants to transfer His generous nature into you so that you can be generous. Winston Churchill says, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you make a happy life when you give, when you are generous. Amen? So the first thing is transferable generosity. The next thing is this, and I've used it before. I think last week, accidentally, I was praying and then I used this word. Is this word transgenerational? The second point is, from this parable, I also learned about transgenerational generosity. When I first heard this term, it was on TV. It was on The Drum. Some of you may have watched The Drum on TV. I watched it, and there was this guy who was talking about the effects of education. And then he says that there is transgenerational generosity in our education, which means the education that has been received one generation before is passed on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. I look at my mom. My mom is not educated, right? But my mom made me go to school so that now I can do what I'm doing. And I can go to the market and I have a list. Poor mom got to put everything in her memory, you know. But mom believes in the transgenerational education or that generosity. So when you are experiencing transgenerational generosity, it is actually passing the generation from the generosity from one generation to the next. And the way to do it is to model it. There's no other way to do it. You model it and you inspire others to give. I don't know about you, some weeks ago when we were doing the installation, what I was very touched by was the story of the $500. You remember the story of the $500? One person, Pastor Stewart, gives $500. Ho Ping gives $500. Charles gives $500. $1,500 became a seed of faith and an act of faith. And when they gave it out and they give it forward to a cause that was greater than themselves, they create a Christian legacy, which is what we are enjoying today. It is influencing our generation. And I believe that it will also influence the generations after. And I must say, and I don't do accounts or anything like that, I'm not very good with all these money matters, but I can hear reports. And I must say that GCC is a really generous church. You know, we own all the four buildings, all paid in full, am I correct? all paid in full is now worth a few million dollars because of the seed of faith. There is that seed of faith that which you have planted week after week. You have been generous with your life. You have been generous with your money. And we have the DNA of generosity in us. And God wants to honor that. And that's why we call ourselves the multi-generational church. God believes in transgenerational generosity. What is good, keep it. What is no good, don't transfer. So those things that you don't want to stinginess, don't transfer. I know, you know, when we live in poor times, you know, some of our parents are very, very stingy, Okay, don't transfer that, okay? Because there is transgenerational stinginess also. I didn't preach on that because I'm preaching on generosity. Don't transfer that, okay? Leave that alone and say, oh God, you take that and break it and I release it to you. But let's release transgenerational generosity. And if you say, oh God, but I have no model. My parents are not models of generosity. Okay, what about God the Father? What about the people in the church who are very generous? You look to these people who are generous. Don't look to the people who are stingy and say, "There, I'm not alone. There are people who are as stingy as me." There's no need to be so happy about that. But we want to be learning from people who are generous, because once you are inspired, I tell you what, your life will change. You're inspired, your life will change. Amen. Amen. So in the parable of the landowner, the landowner personally went out to the vineyard to hire the laborers. And then he spotted the laborers and he invited them to be part of his team. And he looked out for people that he can bless. The 9 a.m. people, the 12 p.m. people, the 3 p.m. people, the 5 p.m. people. And then he rewarded the four groups of people in the same way, justly. Because he promised that, he gave it to all four group of them. He rewarded them justly. So that's why the 9 o'clock and the 12 o'clock people shouldn't have any sort of complaint. Because he actually did as he promised. He rewarded them justly. But for the last two groups, God rewarded them generously. He paid them beyond what they deserve. Now, this parable was used by a lot of authors to talk about the apostles and the young believers. It was also used to talk about the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, the Jews are the ones who come first. Gentiles come later, but God actually rewards both justly and generously. It's also used for that. But I was asked to speak to a group of people about generations in October, and so I got excited and I went to do a bit of research. And because I was in the middle of doing that research and also doing this preparation, all my notes get all merged. And it's amazing. I like merging of things. It's amazing. It's creative. And then I said, oh, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Don't tell me it can also be talking about generations. And so today, I'm very proud to share with you what I have discovered in my meditation. I believe that this parable can also be used to talk about the generations. And I have done some research into the generations, and I believe that God wants to be generous to all the generations. And scientists are saying there are a few generations, and I'm going to tell you who they are, and the slide will tell you. Where are you? Okay, let's go. If you are born between 1928 to 1945, you are called the silent generation. If you are born before that, you are called the greatest generation. Oh, I know there are some greatest generation here. There are some silent generation here. Shall I ask for a show of hands? No, I shouldn't. Okay. And then you have the baby boomers. 1946, if you're born between 1946 to 1964, you are called the baby boomers. If you're born between 65 to 80, you are called Gen X. And then Gen Y, which is very popular because we know them by the word the millennials. They are born between 1981 to 1996. And then I'm interested in Gen Z because I was asked to speak on Gen Z, which is the I generation. They are born between 1997 to 2012. And then people like my grandson and some of you, born kids, you know, born after 2012 to 2024, are known as the Generation Alpha. So then after that, I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe Generation Beta, Charlie, Delta, and so on and so forth. I don't know what is going to happen there. But interesting. I believe God is generous, and like the landlord, rewarding every group that comes to him, to his vineyard, God wants to visit every generation with his spirit. And God wants to reward each generation as they seek after him. The baby boomers are known as a silver tsunami because they are in large numbers. And what research is saying is that baby boomers, maybe I'll see your hand. Baby boomers, who are you? Ooh. Baby boomers, research is saying that you are more likely to be spiritual and turning to faith. And you will tell of how God has been with you, feeding you, nourishing you all life long. And it is the God who redeems you from evil. You've got a lot of stories to tell. And baby boomers, maybe, shall I say, and this is generalization, but I think financially you may be more steady because you already got money. And some of you are retiring. And so a lot of money there. So what I'm saying is that you are financially steady. You've got a lot to offer. And God wants to use your generosity to bless the next generation. Baby boomers, sometimes you are a bit concerned that the generations after you have lost the plot, because spiritually they don't seem to be singing hymns. They don't seem to be so respectful of some of the very important Christian rituals and Christian traditions. Maybe you're very concerned that they are a bit diluted in their faith, not like you're so much on fire, no fire in the belly. But I want to say this, that God is in control. And God's generous nature in wanting to bless and to reward goes down to this generation, to 1,000 generations. God is generous. And Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, are you here? Can I see your hands? Okay, all right. I want to say this to you, Gen X, Y, and Z, you need to rise up. And you need to see what is God putting in your heart to do. Because God's Spirit, I say this again, ooh, this is interesting. God's Spirit is equally in you than in the greatest generation, those that are born before 28. God's Spirit, God's generosity is equally in you than in the earlier generations. And God loves to start something new with you. You are the channel that is going to abound in every good work, and God loves it. So you may be 3 o'clock coming to the faith. You may be 5 o'clock, the late arrival. But God's generosity abounds towards you. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. You know, recently, if you are in the pipeline of receiving news, Asbury University in America is experiencing revival. All those are the young people. Young people in that university attracting believers from other universities. And then what happens is all the adults want to go and watch. Maybe all the baby boomers want to go and watch. You know, but all the young people are having revival. I want to say this. Whichever generation you are in, you are the righteous one. Because in Proverbs 11:11, and this was what we said to the mayor when we went to visit him, we say the blessings of favor resting upon the righteous influences a city to lift it higher. The city of Perth can be lifted higher and better if we influence it with our generosity. And generosity is our value. And we can be generous because God is generous. Can I say this? Baby boomers, can I see your hands again? Right. Would you be generous with your wisdom? Because you have a lot of wisdom in you. If you don't use it, it's going to stagnate. If you don't use it, you're going to withhold something good from a brother or a sister or a friend in this generation that you are living in. I was just having a conversation with one of you. I won't mention it because I didn't ask for permission, no time to ask, but I'm sure it's okay to share this. He was having lunch with three other colleagues that are much younger, maybe in Gen X, Y, Z. He's a baby boomer himself. And the three younger colleagues were treating him like a daddy. If you're hearing this and you are the one, please forgive me. Do I see a smile? Yeah, I see a thumbs up. That is so good. See, people are looking out, and we must not stagnate. We must be generous with whatever God has given to us, because it's amazing when you're able to share something out of your heart. I would say Gen X and Y and Z, the older ones are put in our midst to check your hurry, because sometimes you can be in a hurry. You may want everything to be done at once, but the older ones will be saying quietly, one thing at a time, good things are worth waiting for. So it's all good. We're all put together in this place and we influence each other, being generous to each other, and we link together the generation. GCC is a family church. We are a multi-generation church. May the Lord put such a generosity in us that we are able to bless one another. The last one is the transforming generosity. The landowner in the parable is able to make the last first. How powerful is that? God is very powerful. He can give you generosity that can transform you. His voice has influence. He makes decisions because he has influence. He says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Your wealth and your affordability and your wisdom can be your influence, and it can bring changes to people's lives. I pray that you will allow the Lord's generosity in you to bring transformation to yourself and then to bring transformation to other people. I think I'm going to stop here because I just feel that's it. I don't want to be going more. But there are many examples of generosity that we all do, and we are not to judge one another for whatever acts of generosity we come up with. In fact, we should encourage, we should validate, and we should allow the expression of the generosity of God in our midst. But God wants to use our lives as a channel to bring about transformation. And as we allow the Lord to come and minister to us, as we allow the Lord to download to us his nature, we are allowing God to expand our storehouse of seeds and to let the seeds be anchored in our soul to germinate. And then let's see what the Lord wants to do with us. Is that a good idea? Yeah? Musicians, would you come forward? I think it's a good time to worship the Lord and to ask the Lord to reveal things to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. God is our paymaster. That's the best. He's just. And he may pay us late, he may pay us later, but he pays. And he's so good. I just pray this morning as we allow the music to run a little bit and to lead us in that worship, let's ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Yes, Lord. Oh, we want to be so transformed, oh God, in the way we do things. We don't want it to be words, oh God. We want it to be translated into deeds. This morning, we are all here, dear God, in your presence. And you are the just and generous God. Would you come? Oh, visit us with your spirit, oh God. We have heard all about generosity. What about, oh dear Lord, do an act, oh God, in us that we can be transformed by our generous God. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.